You can take your Bibles this morning, if you like. And you can turn to the book of James, chapter 1. And we're going to look this morning at God's Word concerning this subject of doers of the Word, what it is to be a doer of the Word. Now, there's only four letters in that word, doer. And yet, I still took the time to look it up. And according to Webster's, the word doer means someone who does something. It is someone who takes action instead of just thinking about it. You just put a little ending on the word doer. But it comes from a root word, and the root word is the word do. And the core meaning of the root word do, most of the times, indicates that it's a verb that someone performs an action, to do, to perform an action, to perform an activity, or to perform a task, to do an action, activity, or task. That's what it is to do something. Another definition I read was to take action. This was interesting. It said to take action in a situation in order to change or solve a problem. That's what a doer does. That's what you do. Take action in a situation in order to change or to solve a problem. Doesn't say in order to complain about the problem, right? That would be doing something, but it would be the negative side of doing, right? Or spreading the problem all over creation, that would be doing something, but that would also be the negative side. So when we're concerned about doing the Word of God, we want to do the right thing. That's what we want to do. To take action in a situation in order to change or to solve a problem. In other words, action precedes results. Action precedes results. And this is a very fundamental principle set forth in God's Word. However, this truth has seemed to elude many people, believers and non-believers alike. You see, if you ever want to experience the reality of God, you must become a doer of His Word. You will never experience the reality of God unless you're a doer of His Word. In James chapter 1, and again, this is a fundamental verse for everyone here. We all have heard it probably. In verse 23, we read, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." He's looking in a mirror. He sees his reflection. Verse 24. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." What manner of man he was. Today, God will reveal for you what's in your mirror. Your heart is one of to be meek and humble. God will reveal for you today, this morning, what is in your mirror. The New International Version of verse 23 reads, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." The New Living Translation reads of verse 23, "For if you just listen and don't obey, it's like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance." Verse 24, "You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you looked like." You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. You see, here in James we learn that it's just not the hearing of the word that produces godly results. It's wonderful to hear God's word, and that's a good starting point. We all need that in our lives. However, hearing the word alone only produces with you a possibility of a godly solution to any given question that you may have in your life. Hearing the word alone without action. It gives the possibility for success, but the success is not determined on God. The success is determined on you. Because we do not fight for success. We do not fight for victory. We fight from success. We fight from victory and what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. It's already a done deal, and that's what we have to have in our minds, and this is what we have to understand. So let's take UConn. You all know who UConn Cornelius is, right? That's my little guy I always talk about. I use him in illustrations. Well, that's who UConn is. Today, we're going to take UConn. And, oh, here he is. That's UConn. Yeah, that's UConn. Today, that's UConn. Over there, see? All right. I have to do this because UConn's been known to do some things during teachings. So UConn goes to church one day. And you know what? He hears the preacher. Preacher starts talking about forgiveness. This gets UConn's attention. And the verse the preacher decides to go on is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. You all know it. I'll read it to you, though. And it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." It says, "Be ye kind to one another." The words "be ye kind to one another" are what's called the present middle imperative of genomai. Genomai means this word in its conjunction, and the way it's set in the text reads, "keep on becoming kind." See, it's not a one-time thing done in the past, and because it's an imperative, grammatically the imperative sets a command in God's word. So this is a commandment of God to the church of God written in a church epistle. And it instructs us to continue to become kind. To continue. Keep on becoming kind. In other words, you don't wake up one morning, look in the mirror, and then you're kind. Why is that? It's because we have a world that we live in that Satan rules and governs, and that we are constantly bombarded by the things of the world to pull us away from the Word of God, to pull us away from being kind, to pull us away from being loving, to pull us away from being forgiving, to just trash us. The adversary wants to overload us, and he wants to squash us down so we can't do anything. And then when he's done with us, is he done with us? No. He'll come back and he'll kill you. And then when he's done doing that, will he be done with us? No. He'll kill your legacy. He'll kill your good name. He'll kill your ministry. He'll kill your teaching. He'll kill anything that is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ if given the chance. This is how evil he is. This is his nature. And if you're going to engage him, you have to understand where he comes from. You have to be willing to do battle with him. Not carnal way, but a spiritual way. So UConn sits in church and hears the verse, "Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And he understands this verse. And while UConn's sitting there, you know what comes to UConn's mind? Skippy. You all know who Skippy is? Come here, Skippy. This Skippy. Now, Skippy comes to UConn's mind. And you will remember that I taught you that hearing the word alone only will produce the possibility of a godly solution to any given question in your life. So UConn remembers when he saw Skippy playing in the park. Yesterday, he saw Skippy, and Skippy was catching a frisbee because he was hanging out with his family. But before the park last week, you know what happened? Skippy went into UConn's yard. And you know what Skippy did? He stole UConn's bone. This just wasn't any bone. This was his most favorite bone. It was a big bone. Then after he stole his bone, you know what he did? I'm sorry to say, because Skippy usually don't do this. Skippy lifted his leg and peed on UConn's doghouse. Then he left with the bone. UConn saw this from the window. So before UConn could get out there to defend his territory and retrieve his bone, guess where Skippy's at? Back at his house munching on whose bone? UConn's bone. So UConn got angry at Skippy. That did Skippy do something wrong? He did a bad thing. Shouldn't have done it. UConn got angry at him. But the problem is, the Bible says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. This happened over a week ago. And when UConn sees Skippy in the park, you know what video's playing in his mind? Here is the bone thief. That's what he's thinking. And yet, UConn was at church. And he heard the preacher say, be ye kind, forgiving one another. And he understood that verse. And God even brought UConn, Skippy, to the mind of UConn when the preacher was teaching that verse. Because that's the way God works, you know. God sometimes will give you a name or a picture will flash into your mind or a memory will flash into your mind. And in this context, it was the memory of Skippy. But it wasn't the memory of Skippy eating the bone. It was the memory of Skippy and what UConn needed to do about how he felt towards Skippy and eating his bone. Because he's angry at Skippy, you know. And it's been over a day. And he's bitter towards Skippy. And you know what UConn needs to do? What's he need to do? Right. He needs to forgive Skippy. So he comes to church that morning and hears a preacher talking about forgiveness. Now UConn is faced with a decision. And for sake of illustration, let's say he only has two choices. Choice A and choice B. Choice A is that UConn can decide to obey God and God's word and what he learned from the preacher that morning, and he can forgive Skippy. That's choice A. Get things straightened out and live his life. Choice B, next option. UConn can go over and take Skippy's bone and then pee on Skippy's dog box. Did he forgive? Is he doing what God wants him to do? No. You see, if UConn wants to be a doer of the word, okay, he's got to make a decision. Understand? What's he going to decide? He's going to forgive Skippy. He's going to get on with life. However, if UConn is only going to be a hearer of the word, remember what it said in James? Read it to you again, out of the New Living. If you just listen, if you just listen and don't obey, it's like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. So UConn looks in the mirror that morning, sees himself. And you know what he sees in the mirror that morning, written across his forehead? He sees the word unforgiveness. He sees the word anger. He sees the word bitterness. And that's written right here. That's what he sees when he looks in the mirror. Now, Yukon's got a choice to make. He can either say, looks good to me, I'm ready, and go out into life and forget just what he saw, just what God revealed to him, just what the Lord Jesus Christ died so it could be available to him to see. Or Yukon can be honest. And Yukon can say, you know what? That is not pretty. I'm having a bad fur day. Right? Boy, I got some unforgiveness going on here, and I got some bitterness going on here, and phew, look at this anger. I can't be hanging with this stuff. This is not going to work, because I'm supposed to see Penelope later tonight, and this isn't going to be good for me. Philippians chapter 3. And we're just going to let him sit there and think about what he's going to do for a minute. And Skippy, he's just over here chilling, but we'll get to Skippy too. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And that's something. If we're going to be mature, if we're going to grow up, we need to be thus minded, and that's the mind of Christ, and like-minded with those who have the mind of Christ, because he is the standard. And then the word says, if God will reveal anything else to you, if he will reveal anything else to you, if we're otherwise minded. Back to Yukon. God has just revealed to Yukon his sins of bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. Because God wants us to be like-minded with his son. And when we're not like-minded with his son, and when we have a heart of meekness, and when we're humble, God can reveal to us those things that we need to change. And God just showed Yukon that he's an angry puppy, that he's got bitterness, unforgiveness going on in his life. How did God do that? It showed in the mirror of God's word. When Yukon looked into the mirror, he didn't want to just be a hearer of the word, he wanted to be a doer. And he saw. God at that point in time showed Yukon what was wrong. He showed him the problem. You know why? Because he's big enough to do that. Didn't need a minister to do it. Didn't need a rabbi to do it. Didn't need his co-heist to do it. Nothing. He showed Yukon because God is a personal God. And if he can show a mutt, he can show you. I should have put my hands there first. God can show you what's wrong. And he gave Yukon a chance. He gave him a chance to do something about what he saw in the mirror. Now, Yukon saw bitterness. He saw anger, and he saw unforgiveness. Now, if Yukon is going to be a doer of the word, he's got to address what God has just revealed to him. He's got to. Or he's going to turn away, forget what he just saw, and go about his business like nothing's wrong or nothing has ever happened. Right? And how many people do that? Because they don't want to face what's in the mirror. Maybe it hurts what's in the mirror. Maybe you want to deny what's in the mirror. If you're real intellectual, you'll use all kinds of Bible verses to justify your right to hold on to what you have, what you just saw in the mirror. You understand? But none of that is God's word. God so lovingly showed Yukon when he looked in the mirror unforgiveness, anger, bitterness. God didn't do this so he could point his finger at him and say, look at you, you're a bad puppy. He did it so that UConn could reflect the glory of God the way God wants His glory reflected. So that UConn can be unblemished and spotless out here as much as He is in here. Will He ever be perfect? No, because perfection's in the Lord. But He can strive towards that point. That's why God shows us things. And if we ignore what God Almighty shows us, it's like seeing it and walking away. The mirror. UConn and Skippy remind me of Philippians 4:2. You know what Philippians 4:2 says? Let me read it to you. It says, I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Synecdoche. That's how his name's getting pronounced this morning. Syndicate. That they may be of the same, what? Mind in the what? Lord. These two over here, you got one here and you got one here. And the apostle says, you guys got to get your heads out of your butt. And you got to be what? One. You got to be one. God is showing these two. And it's sad when it happens to leaders because it makes it all the more worse. That this is what's in your mirror. Right? This is what's in your mirror. This is what you're looking at. Then God says, what are you going to do about it? As we said, what are you going to do about it? Now, you're all pretty smart in here, of whom I am at the bottom of the barrel. I will rightly admit and quickly to do so. But I would like for one of you to give me one verse that's recorded in God's Word that either teaches or implies that it's okay to hold on to bitterness, ongoing anger, or unforgiveness. Any takers? Who can show me one verse that presented the Lord Jesus Christ's life and ministry in this light? He was a bitter man. He was an angry man with ongoing anger. Or he was just not a forgiving soul at all. Anybody got any verses to substantiate that? No. Oh, good. We're all on the same page. So we can all agree that according to God's Word, I can say that bitterness, ongoing anger, and unforgiveness is a what? Sin. And that the only one that it glorifies is the devil. Would you all be in agreement to that statement? Because nobody got a verse that's going to show me the contrary or even imply the contrary. And we all agreed to that. And thus far, we're all in agreement on every page we're going to. Right? Okay. Now, who here wants to intentionally sin? There's nobody going to raise their hand. And if you do, you come see me afterwards and we'll help you. Nobody here wants, no good-hearted Christian wants to intentionally sin. That's silly, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Who here wants their life to glorify the devil? Any takers? Well, if Jack Black was here, he'd raise his hand. Both of them. And Jack get healed or thrown out. That'd be his option. And I'd be the bouncer. But listen, nobody wants to intentionally glorify the devil either, right? So if you hold bitterness, or you hold on to anger, or you have unforgiveness in your life, and we're all in agreement these are bad things, what are you doing? You're sinning, and in that area of your life, you're only bringing glory to the devil. That's who you're witnessing for. Bible says we're supposed to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Sure, it's right. You ready? Who is your Skippy? Who is the one that represents Skippy to you? Make no mistake, God is talking to you this morning. You didn't come here just to hear Carmen play or to hear Bible verses read. You came into the very presence of God Almighty, and He is addressing you, young lady, young man, this morning. And He is saying to you, look in the mirror. I am showing you what you are, and I'm showing you what I want you to be. Now you have to make the decision on which way you want to go. You see, the Christian's problem has always been to take what we have legally to the experiential plateau of life. Legally, we have all these wonderful things. But in our experience, in our walk, we lack. Because in our walk, in our experience, there's one factor that determines whether we move ahead or not. And that's our free will obedience to God's word. That's our free will choice to say yay or nay to what God is showing us, to what God wants to give us. Look in the mirror of your mind. Who represents Skippy to you? Do you have any bitterness? Do you have any anger? Do you have any unforgiveness in your life? Of your own confession and admittance, not more than 2 minutes ago, you recognize that those things are sin. You recognize that those things bring glory to the devil. Now, I'm saying to you, if you willfully disobey and hold on to that anger, to that bitterness, to that unforgiveness, you are willfully sinning and you are willfully glorifying the devil. Now you have a choice to make, because that's how big it is. This isn't a big hammer coming down on the sheep of God. This is God's heart for you to do those things that He needs you to do. You see, because God never fails in what He does. And when working with individuals, God always gives to that person everything that he needs to be successful. And God will only ask of you what is absolutely necessary for you to get to the place where you could receive his deliverance in your life. That's the way God works. But if you refuse to do your part, if you refuse to cooperate with God, it's called stubbornness. It's called rebellion. It's called pride. It's called ego. It has a lot of facades. It has a lot of masks. You understand? But it all boils down to the bottom line is if you refuse to obey God's word, you have that right to do so. You do. Because God is bound by your free will. Choice. Just remember this. You are also bound by your free will choice to the consequences that you will bring upon yourself. Now, does that mean? Is that a negative sermon? Is it a negative sermon when I tell my child not to play in the road? Is it a negative sermon when I tell my child not to run with a knife? Is it a negative sermon when I tell my child not to put their hand in the snake's hole? No. Because the Word of God says, those that are mature have their senses exercised to discern what? Both good and what? That's right. You got to understand what's going on out there. Because if you don't understand what's going on out there, when it's thrown in your face, you're not going to know how to deal with it. You're not going to know how to confront it. You're just going to be. And then, depending on what type of chemical makeup and personality you have, you'll either run or you'll fight or you'll curse or you'll hide or you'll do a whole host of things. Do you know why some people don't forgive others? They may read Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's what 4:32 says. The problem with some people is they never read and obey Ephesians 4:31. Now learn this morning the lesson of the two R's with regards to walking for God. To remove and to replace. This is what I call the two R's. Remove and replace. You see, Ephesians 4:31 states, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's what 31 says. You put it away by a conscious decision, an act of your will. You put it away. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how much money I lost. You don't know how many friends I lost. You don't know what they did to me. You're right. But Jesus does. And he suffered all those things. And the word says, cast your cares upon him. Jesus saved to the uttermost. Jesus bore your infirmities, your sickness. And he also bore your heartaches. He bore your anger. He bore your bitterness. He bore your theological disputes. See? The words be put away are theo, again, a first aorist passive imperative of aro, the root aro. But it's, again, it's an imperative. Imperative is what? A command. It reads literally, pick it up, carry it away, make a clean sweep. So nothing remains. Nothing remains. Pick it up, carry it away, make a clean sweep so nothing remains. Listen, I'm going to teach you something. Until you put off these things, you will never be able to forgive. You may try and try. However, you will find yourself returning to the offense in your mind and replaying it over and over again if you simply try to forgive without putting off the things in verse 31. And you will fail every time. And you'll scratch your head and you'll say, why can't I forgive? Have I forgiven this person? What is going on with me? In order to put something into a can, you first must remove the lid. And once the lid's off, then and only then you can place that into the can. However, if the can is full, or if the lid won't come off, you got a problem. If the lid won't come off, you got to address that. And that's getting through a person's hard head sometimes with the Word of God. And then finally, when you do get the lid off to their mind, you see that it's all full of junk. Well, how am I going to fit this in here when you got all this stuff in here? There's only one way to do that. What do you got to do? You got to take something out to put something in, right? Something's got to go. That's why I say you got to remove first. Then you replace. Ephesians says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away. Put away. Get rid of that. Then verse 32 says, then be kind, tenderhearted one to another, forgiving one another. Verse 31 enables you to do verse 32. You got it? Verse 31 enables you by removing. Then you replace it with kindness, forgiveness. But if you got no room in here for that, you're never going to succeed at forgiving someone. You're never going to succeed to get rid of the bitterness in your life. You're never going to succeed with get rid of the anger in your life or the revenge or whatever your pet peeve has to be. For UConn, unless he gets rid of this stuff, he's not going to be able to forgive Skippy. That's just the way it works. Very simple. Look, take a refrigerator. Ever go into your refrigerator? What do you got to do first? Open the refrigerator. Okay, now we have access to what's inside of the refrigerator. Do you ever have a science experiment in your refrigerator? And you say to yourself, how did this get here? What do you do? Oh, that's nice. And you just go over here to... No, what do you do? You get some gloves. right? Or a blowtorch in some cases. You get some gloves. You get this thing that you put in as one thing, but it has become this creature of something. And you, if you're Cratchit, you go like this. With the dog jumping up to bite it. What do? You remove it. And you clean it up. Then you take the new potato, or the new tomato, or the new banana, and you do what? You put it where it belongs. You remove, and then you what? Replace. You remove, and then you replace. The putting away of verse 31 enables us to do verse 32 in Ephesians chapter 4. In other words, action precedes results. You got to take action. Everything's already done in Christ. Remember I told you we're fighting from victory, not for victory? So if everything is done in Christ, all we need to do is learn how to appropriate it to our lives, learn how to appropriate it to the circumstance in which we are faced. That's all we have to do, because we already have everything we need to be victorious. James chapter 1, please. Verse 22. The word says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let me tell you what that verse means to you this morning on this October day. That verse means that if you have anybody in your heart or mind that you have an issue with and you haven't resolved it, you have sin in your life. If you have bitterness, if you have anger, if you have jealousy, if you have pride, if you have unforgiveness, if you have a judgmental spirit, come in here, catch me on my words. If you've got any of these things going on in your life, and you're hearing what I'm teaching to you this morning, and you see in the mirror of God, He reveals it to you, not me, none of my business what's going on in your life. Got enough junk going on in my own life I got to handle. God will show you what's going on in your life. And He shows you. And a name flaps upon your head like that and goes away. Bill, George, John, Tommy, Yukon. Because that's how fast it works sometimes. God showed you. And if you refuse to do something about it, you will not only walk out of here this morning glorifying the devil and willfully sinning in disobedience to God, you will walk out of here this morning quite deceived. Because I said so? No, because I have it on the authority of God's word. Because the scripture says, if you're not a doer, if you're just a hearer, you deceive your own self. And you know who the father of deception is? Sure you do. Do you find that you have a problem sometimes doing the word? Remember what I taught you? The two R's. Look at James 1. Look at verse 21 now. Show it to you again. First remove, then what? Replace. Wherefore, lay apart, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your what? It's not going to be able to receive until you what? Make room. You got to lay apart. See it? That's your part. Jesus did His part. God has done His part. The Holy Spirit will do His part. Your part is to make room. Your part is to open the door to your mind and then thus your heart. Your part is to willfully make the decision to get rid of the anger, get rid of the bitterness, confess it as a sin, get rid of the unforgiveness. I don't care if you've been in unforgiveness for 30 years. You got no right. Anyone had a right to be there? Jesus Christ had a right. And you know what he said? On the cross, bleeding, emaciated, wrapped. Father, what? Forgive them. Father, forgive them. You have no right. Don't let the devil convince you you have a right to hold on to this crap. Because all it's doing to you is sucking the life of God out of you, sucking the peace of God out of you. And if you're waiting for a perfect world or a perfect spouse or a perfect ministry to do this, you might as well just forget it. Because like I said before, the ministry would be perfect if it weren't for the people. Same with the world. Make a decision. You decide. God is a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He respects your free will, and like I told you before, he's bound by it. But remember, you're bound by it also. If you choose to ignore the mirror that God shows you and live your life contrary to it, then don't blame God for your consequences and the choices you've made. Don't you dare blame God. I just had to go through this the other week, another night. Don't blame God. You did this, you did that, it was your choice. Don't blame God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Remove, replace. Two keys. They're not the only keys in God's word. They're not the only little tricks, tips, principles in God's word, but they're important ones. Remove, replace. Ephesians 4, look at verse 22. Show it to you. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on what? The new man. First, it's a what? It's a putting off. It's a deliberate decision, conscious act of the will that I... Come here, you. Watch. I, Yukon, decide right now before God Almighty. He's going to do it because he's a public example. You don't have to do it this way. And before the congregation assembled here, to put off bitterness towards you, Skippy. I decide to forgive you for stealing my bone and eating my... No, Yukon. Stealing my bone and eating my bone. He was going back into his old man. I forgive you for stealing my bone and eating my bone and peeing on my dog box. And I release bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. And Skippy says, I'm just going to do it again. Who was the forgiveness for? Skippy? No. Not at all. You know who the forgiveness is for? You. It's for Yukon. Skippy can turn around and pee on anything he wants. But you know who's free and standing in front of God, free in fellowship? Yukon. You see, Skippy's response has absolutely nothing to do with Yukon walking in freedom. But somewhere along the line, we get this dumb idea that Skippy's got to say, I'm sorry, in order for God to appropriate forgiveness to Yukon's life. Now, isn't that a silly thing? Because the life of Jesus Christ, I thought, bought our forgiveness and the blood of Christ. But somewhere along the line, this guy got some control over me. Skippy got control. I need to hear it from him. Nope. Wrong. 1,000 times wrong. Who's forgiveness for? Skippy or Yukon? It's for Yukon. It's for Yukon. Now, reconciliation is a completely different process. You want to reconcile, then this guy's got to make good, bring him a bone, and clean his dog box off with some, I don't know, Mr. Clean or something. That's reconciliation. But forgiveness. Now, Yukon's free. If UConn were to die tonight, get hit by a semi, I love how I do this with children in here. Okay, if the Lord was to come back tonight, the Norse town flares up at me once in a while. If the Lord was to come back tonight, UConn could meet the Lord like this. Give me five. And he'd say, hang out with me, UConn. We ain't got too much to discuss about your life because you've gotten forgiveness for these things. Or we'd be here at the BAME and we'd be talking about a couple of different things. But if the Lord decides to come back tonight and Skippy's over trying to get another bone, what's Skippy going to do when he sees the Lord? Skippy going to hide? Why are you going to hide from the Lord? This is what the Lord will do. Hey, boy. Hey, UConn. Hey, Skip. Where you going? Principal's office. I'll be back. Now, what do you want? You want to go with Skippy or you want to hang with UConn? Right? Sure. It's a silly illustration, but it's the truth of it will be earth-shattering and life-changing if you can get it. The putting off in verse 22 of Ephesians 4 enables you to do verse 24. You remove, you replace. Look at Colossians 3. A couple more here and we'll close this morning. But look, God's at work. He showed up this morning for you. Not because of me or who I am, but because he loves you. He'd been here if I wasn't here. Because he loves you. He loves you. He wants the best for your life. God showed up this morning because he wants the best for your life personally. I know he's everywhere present. I know about the Holy Spirit. I know all that. It's a figure. He's here for you. He wants to show you the mirror. He wants you to look into his mirror. He wants to show you, this is what you need to do, son, to get yourself on the straight and narrow. You do your part, I'll do my part. He wants to shake your hand. It's a good deal. And God will never back down on his deal. Never back down on his deal. Colossians, did I say? Chapter 3, verse 8. Look at it again. We're looking at the principle of remove and replace. Looking at the principle of action precedes results. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put it off. Get rid of it. Don't talk like that. Don't be angry. Don't have malice. Lie not one to another. Don't lie. Well, it's just a little lie. Don't lie. Well, I have to. Don't lie. Because the Bible says don't lie. That's what it says. Put off the old man with his deeds. There's your putting off. There's your removing. Now, look what it says. And have put on the what? New man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Once again, you see the principle. Put off. Open the refrigerator door. Clean it out. Get rid of the junk. And then get the groceries. Put the groceries in. And everything's good. You know why everything's good? Because if you got a potato drawer and you got an icky potato in there and you get new potatoes and you put it in the potato drawer, you know what's going to happen? All those potatoes are going to stand up and pray around the bad potato and it's going to heal it. Right? I don't think so. Not unless you're smoking something. What happens? The bad potato gets into the good potatoes, and then they all get bad, right? You got to put out, you got to remove it. And if you got junk inside of your container, of your head, that don't belong there, and you try to put God's word in there, it's going to get messed up, man. Or at least it's going to not produce that which God designed it to produce. The doing of God's word is a result of an obedient heart. And the result of an obedient heart brings about the blessings of God. The doing of God's word is a result of an obedient heart, and the result of an obedient heart brings the blessings of God's word. Let's go into Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God," then the next word say, "to observe and to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord will set you high." Verse 2, watch this. Verse 2 of Deuteronomy 28 is a result of the obedience of verse 1 by the people. Verse 2 is just simply the result. I want you to see this. They didn't work for it. They didn't buy themselves into it. They didn't earn it. It's just a result of obedience. "And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." You see, you're not going after the blessing. You are not seeking God for the blessing. The blessing in and of itself has a life of itself, and it comes upon you and it overtakes you. You understand? Just like UConn. You walking down the road, you got a cheeseburger hanging down there. You know what UConn's going to do? He's going to jump up and grab on. He's going to overtake. He's going to hold on to you, to the cheeseburger. That's the way the blessings of God work. The result of obedience is that it opens the blessings of God to flow into your life. Ever happened to you? Never even prayed for it, but you had a need, and it was just there. Why? Because the blessings of God knew you needed it. God knew you needed it. You were obeying, and so you know what God did? He talked a blessing over there, hanging out, sitting on the chair. "Wake up, boy. Go over there and latch on to so-and-so. Needs a blessing today." Another blessing over here. You do God's word. You obey God's word. "Wake up, so-and-so. Go over there and give candy, grab onto her." That's what happens. It's a law. But it follows obedience. Obedience. That's pretty good. Because if you read from verses 3 to 13, it lists a lot of blessings in there, huh? Money, health, everything you could want. So what have we learned this morning? We saw that action precedes results. This is a fundamental principle in God's word. We saw that if we want to experience the reality of God, we must become doers of His Word. We learned that just hearing the Word only provides us with a possible godly solution to any given question. The Word must be received with an obedient, godly heart and motive, and then acted on in order to produce godly results. We then looked at the mirror of God. And you remember the story I told you of UConn and Skippy. And like UConn and Skippy, we are too forced to make a decision when we look in the mirror. And the same choice is presented to us. Will it be A, I'm going to deal with this? Or will it be B, I willfully refuse to deal with this. I willfully choose to sin. I willfully glorify the devil. You make the choice. But I want you to know that's the choice you're making. We're not going to candy coat it for you. Nobody's going to say to Jesus that Nick didn't tell me that. Because Jesus is going to look you right back in the face and say, "I was there that morning, son. You're mistaken. Nick did tell you that. Now what you do with it, you own up to it." We saw, this is another important key for passive people. When you make no choice, you know who makes the choice for you? The devil. You give him the legal right to do so. Think about salvation. Some people get born again because they decide, right? Some people get unborn again because not, but don't get born again because they decide, right? And then the vast majority of people make no decision. They just go through life and whatever. Who made their decision for them? Who has the legal right over them? The adversary. The adversary. Salvation's free, but no decision. He decides for you. God is a gentleman. He respects our free will and he's bound by it. And you must remember, so are we. If we choose to ignore the mirror and live our lives the way we want to, then we also can't blame God for the consequences that come our ways and for our choices. Then we looked at the two R's, to remove and replace. It's not the only key, but it's a necessary one sometimes. The doing of God's word is a result of an obedient heart, and the result of an obedient heart brings about the blessings of God. I'm going to close this morning in James chapter 1. I'm going to read to you the New Living Translation of verse 25. But if you keep looking steadily into God's perfect law, the law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. God will bless you for doing it. And at this time, what we're going to do to close this morning is I'm going to give you a chance now to practically apply what I just taught you. So if you just all close your eyes and just listen to me and don't worry about the dog outside, just pay attention, and I'm going to pray. And when I pray, if God shows you somebody, if God shows you something in your life, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, jealousy, whatever it is, that's God showing you. You're looking into the mirror. And I'm going to give you a chance silently to confront it and confess it as a sin and then receive forgiveness from God so that you can walk in freedom. Because you didn't come here to get in prison. And you didn't come here to stay in prison. You came here because we're going to practically show you how to get out of prison this morning. So close your eyes and just listen to my prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for these, your people. And Father, I thank you for working right now in the hearts and lives of your people. Allow them to be focused on what I'm saying, Father. Father, I ask that you would show each person individually, quietly, Father, in their heart, in their ear, in their mind's eye, if they have any of these things going on. It could be a name, it could be a word, like revenge, like jealousy, like bitterness. And Father, that they look into that mirror and see those things. And Father, I thank you that they act appropriately. Now just take a moment and listen to God. And if he shows you these things, any of these things, what I want you to do is I want you to confess it silently by name as a sin. If it's bitterness, I say I confess bitterness as a sin. If it's anger, I say I confess anger as a sin. If it's unforgiveness, I want you to say I confess unforgiveness as a sin. Take your time right now and do it. God's not showing you anything, then just speak in tongues silently. But he showed up this morning for you, and I'm sure and once you confess it as a sin, ask the Father, hey, thank you for forgiving me, Father, for this sin of bitterness, this sin of anger, this sin of unforgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Clean it out. And now receive and say, thank you, Father. And I praise you for cleansing me and healing me in Jesus' name.